You are listening to The Gospel for Geeks. I'm Father Roderick, and this is a recording of my Sunday homily. You can find more information about the Bible readings in the show notes.
Even if you're not yet watching the new Paramount Plus series about the early adventures of the Starship Enterprise, not under the helm of Captain Kirk, but Captain Pike, you may still have heard of Captain Pike, because he is also featured in the original Star Trek series. I think there is a reason that this new television series is so popular and that the character of Captain Pike has been so popular right from the start. And I'm so happy that they're expanding his place in Star Trek history, because there's something very relatable in Captain Pike. And some of his attitudes, the way he behaves, the choices that he makes, have transferred to Captain Kirk, who would succeed him. And I think all of them have to do with the heart. This is a captain who has a great heart for the people that have been entrusted to him. And his heart not only goes out to his own crew, but also to all these alien species in different situations, people of different cultures, different races, different planets. Captain Pike always wants to help them. And there is that respect, he may not be the perfect captain for the Federation, because the Federation has strict rules, rules of engagement, rules that are there to protect not just the Federation or the crew and the captain of the Starship Enterprise, but those rules are also meant to protect the civilizations that they seek out, that they observe, that they encounter. And of course, the most important rule of all those regulations, all those rules of engagement, is a rule that actually at the time of Captain Pike had not been formalized yet, but we all know it as the Prime Directive. Now, if you are familiar with the Star Trek universe, you know what that means, but for those of you that are not, it's, in a nutshell, the rule that if you encounter a civilization that is still considered to be primitive, although that's not used in a derogatory sense of the word, but if you encounter a civilization on a planet that has not advanced to the level of being able to develop warp drive, which is basically a technology that allows people to travel between the stars and thus, you know, step out of their isolated little world, if they're not there yet, then you should absolutely not engage them. You should never divulge that you are from another planet, that you have warp technology. You're not allowed to share that technology. You have to basically be hands off, no matter what happens, no matter even if they want your help or you think that you need to help. You have to just step back and respect the development, the proper development of that particular culture. And so the reason that this was introduced, I think, in the Star Trek lore was that the original Star Trek series was developed and aired during the Vietnam War. And there were a lot of people everywhere in the world that were questioning the motives of that military intervention. And there was a lot of debate on, you know, how far do we go when we encounter another situation? Do we have the right to even change that situation politically, even if we think that it's good for those people? Should we be more respectful? And of course, this is not a question just for that era, but this is a recurring question throughout mankind. Our human history has a lot of dark pages where travelers would discover other countries or even entire continents and conquer it and suppress the original culture and replace it with what they consider to be a superior culture. That's kind of the backdrop of that whole Prime Directive. And, you know, you can understand that there are good reasons to kind of be careful with intervention. But it's not so ideal as an overall moral law. Because there will be situations where it's more important to intervene and to do something and to maybe break the rules than to step aside and just let the situation unfold. And this is time and again happening throughout all these different eras of Star Trek. At various times, and with Captain Pike, of course, you've got the first captain, this is early Star Trek history, you've got the first moments where situations arise where the general rule does not work. And then Captain Pike decides that he needs to intervene, even if the rules tell him not to. But there's more at stake. People need to be saved. People need to sometimes be protected against one another. In the first episode of the new series, they come across this planet that somehow has already found out about warp technology. And that was not supposed to happen. So there's already been a breach of the rules in the past. But instead of developing warp technology to travel to other stars, they use that technology to create basically a huge bomb that could destroy another culture. And there's like a lot of strife in that society. And so even though the rules are already broken, and in the beginning of the story, Pike and his crew try to disguise themselves as locals, so to not interfere even more, at one point Pike realizes that, yeah, I am not going to abide by the Federation's rules. I need to do something. Otherwise, this planet is going to destroy itself. And so he intervenes and he feels that that is his moral obligation. And we'll explain later. We'll ask forgiveness later. And what is funny is that later on, when Captain Kirk takes over the helm of the Enterprise, he will do the same time and again. And even in later on in The Next Generation, Picard will sometimes do the same. And he will be much more intellectual about it. He will take much more time to ponder and then to explain to the Federation why he broke the Prime Directive. But it's those moments that are so interesting. Janeway only, I think, breaks the rules one or two times. But it's what we like about those moments is that you can tell that the heart takes precedent over the rules. And that is something that we can relate to. And this is exactly what the gospel of today is talking about. It is a story about rules and mercy. And how sometimes what the rules were supposed to protect in itself may be a good thing, but the rules, if you take them outside of a specific situation, the rules can actually be counterproductive to what they are meaning to protect. And so the whole confrontation between this man who walks up to Jesus and Jesus is, of course, about the rules. And they don't want to have a real conversation. They just want to find a way to accuse Jesus of rule breaking or inciting people to break the rules. And so it's basically like a test. Okay, Jesus, we all want to go to heaven. Tell us, what are the rules? How do we get there? And at first, Jesus replies, well, you know scripture. Tell me the rules. Well, you have to love God and you have to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, well, why do you ask me? You know the rules just as much as I do. So just do that. But then, of course, that was not the kind of reply that this guy expected. He actually hoped that Jesus would give specific examples, because they'd seen Jesus break the rules in their perspective, because he would talk to public sinners. He would even eat with them, have dinner with them, spend time with them. He would walk up to people that were sick, you know, were considered to be impure, and he would kiss them and embrace them and, yeah, cure them. But still, before he cured them, he broke the rules. Jesus would do stuff on the Shabbat, on Saturday. That was not allowed to do any work, even if it was good work. And so you can tell that he was actually hoping for examples like that. And Jesus knows this. He knows that you know, this is not a real debate. He's not really interested in what I have to say. And so instead of engaging in an intellectual debate, he just tells a story. He makes it personal. Imagine that we're on this road between Jericho and Jerusalem. That's a very long, can be very hot. I remember when I was in the Holy Land, it's not a pleasant environment to journey on. And then you've got this poor guy and he's been robbed and half beaten to dead. And then imagine there's this priest and he has to go pray. And so the rules forbid him to get anywhere near someone who might be sick. You know, he's got to respect the rules. And so he, you know, takes another road. The same thing happens with the Levite. He too, he knows the rules and he sticks with the rules. And, well, he walks past this guy. And then there is a Samaritan. And a Samaritan, of course, as you know, was part of a culture, of a certain group that was considered to be, you know, not really following the rules. The Samaritans were looked down upon by a majority of the Jews at the time because they had, you know, their own ideas and they wouldn't be observant enough. So even though this Samaritan is in fact, you know, supposed to be the enemy of everyone in that area because he was traveling, he's the only one who is touched. And because, maybe because he's not hindered by those rules, he approaches the man. And then the whole story is about all the actions that he does. And Jesus creates narratively this great contrast by the haughty negligence of these law-abiding people. And then on the other hand, you have this Samaritan who is just doing everything he can and more, taking this man, treating his wounds with oil, with wine because of the alcohol, of course. And then he puts him on his probably a mule or a donkey or whatever, brings him to a place where he can stay for the night. He pays in advance. And then he even says, you know what, I'm going to check in on this guy 2 days from now or maybe later, and I'll pay you even more, but make sure that he gets well. So it's an incredible outpouring of generosity and love for a stranger, for someone who may not be sharing his values or, you know, even faith. But that all doesn't matter because he obeys the law of his heart. This is what the first reading is all about, when Moses speaks to the people. Of course, Moses, the one who went up the mountain to get God's commandments, you know, and came down from heaven almost to explain people, this is what you should do, this is the law. And then Moses actually says, well, but you don't need me to go up there and get it for you. It's not complicated. It's just, it's written in your heart. That's where God put it all along. The laws, the rules are just there to help you remind yourself. But if you really want to know what to do, just listen to your heart, listen to your conscience, and do that. It's basically just as simple as what Jesus tells this expert of the law. You know, it's simple, just do this, the prime commandment, not the prime directive, the prime commandment, love. It's all about love. Love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's so simple. But we make it complicated because it gets into our head and we are starting. Sometimes we use the rules so we don't have to listen to our heart. We do that too in our day-to-day life when we make decisions on who to help and who not, who to engage with and who not. Subconsciously, we're constantly judging, and we're like, is this person really worth my time? Is this person worth my money? Is, you know, do I want to help here? Or, but that's, let the government handle that. That's a job for the police. The doctor should take care of that. I've already enough going on in my life, you know. Nobody expects me to do this. nobody, it's not law, so I don't need to do this. Nobody forces me. And so oftentimes in those rationalizations, we feel that sometimes people are pulling on our heartstrings. But we just don't want to listen to our heart. And so that's where we bring in these rules. Well, we're not supposed to, you know. We're good, we're following the rules. And Jesus here says, but the rules are there to remind you to let your heart speak. The rules are there to protect love and what love in its most specific situations. And so when the rules are getting in the way of your heart and what needs to be done, you have to forego with the rules. You have to leave them. You have to just do. And he shows it. Jesus shows it time and again. He goes. And in fact, I think the story that Jesus tells is about him. It's about what he does. There are some church fathers who read this in a metaphorical way. And they say, you know, Jesus goes to sinners, people that have been, you know, who are almost dying because of the darkness in the world and the sins they've committed. And Jesus uses oil and wine. Oil could be a symbol of baptism, where you get the unction of the chrism, the sign of the Holy Spirit. And the wine could be a symbol of the Eucharist. And baptism and Eucharist are there for sinners, not for the saints. These are the means that Jesus wanted us to use to bring people to the Lord, to heal them. And then later on, Jesus brings that person to the church. Like the Samaritan is not doing this all by himself. No, his animal is helping him, and then he goes to the inn. And then the innkeeper helps him. So there's this community that is there. And so Jesus also always brings people that are hurt, people that are suffering, into the community of his church through the sacraments, so that they're no longer alone, so that there is this common care. And ultimately, Jesus is the one who feeds that community. The two coins, the two silver coins, some church fathers say, hey, it's the word of God. And it's the sacraments. And he continues to feed his church so that they can provide for the poor and the needy in the world until he comes again. So Jesus has promised, I will return. And then I'll make sure that every wound is healed, that everything that hurts us or could threaten us, that all that is removed. But until I return, take good care of one another. This is so beautiful and so... I didn't come up with this by myself. I have to give credit to Father Henry, who actually I did part of this homily this morning in the parish. And then Father Henry came to visit me just 2 hours ago, and he told me what he had preached. And he added the whole, you know, metaphorical interpretation. I thought it was just amazing. This is why I'm so happy to be part of the church, even though I have to acknowledge that I too often kind of look away and I feel overwhelmed by all the demands, and oftentimes I don't listen to my heart and I rationalize that. That's what we all have in common. But that is why we read these readings and we are reminded every time, don't be afraid of the consequences. Don't be afraid of breaking the rules. Reach out. And if you give love, you oftentimes will receive love in return. And where there's love, that's where God is. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Gospel for Geeks. You can join me live for Mass every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central European Time, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Follow me on social media at Father Roderick for a link to the live stream. If you want to contribute to this ministry, go to fatherroderick.com/donate.